you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
It's Film Week on KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle, joined by critics Peter Rayner, Angie Hahn, and Wade Major. In just a little bit, we're going to get our critics' picks for some of their favorites of the first 4-plus months of the year. But we want to take this opportunity to remember the passing of some prodigious talents in Hollywood. We begin with Charles Grodin, tremendous actor, comedian, late night talk show guest, who died earlier this week at the age of 86. Peter, please start us off on some of your favorites of Charles Grodin. One of the ones I love so much, a fairly small role, but in Heaven Can Wait with Warren Beatty, Diane Cannon, just a very funny performance.
Yeah, I mean, he was a remarkable team player for someone who, you know, was so singular in his acting and his persona. He worked remarkably well with a great range of actors, you know, in Midnight Run with De Niro. And my favorite of his movies was his big breakthrough film as a film actor, Heartbreak Kid, directed by Elaine May. He's just absolutely amazing in that movie. And the scene with him, you know, telling Silver Shepherd's father, Eddie Albert, you know, why he loves his daughter. I mean, there's just so many great moments in that. And a neglected movie, The Lonely Guy, that he played with Steve Martin. You know, there's a scene with him on a park bench where Grodin is musing about why it is that homeless men all seem to have very full heads of hair. He was really tremendously versatile, given the fact that you know we thought we knew who he was in the movies, but he was with a new generation of moviegoers in films like Beethoven and, you know, Muppets and so forth. He created a new loyalty of fan base, but he was also tremendous on talk shows with Carson and many others. Just a wonderful actor.
Terrific talent. And Wade, I understand you watched in rapid succession Grodin's appearances on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Oh, they sparred in the most joyous way imaginable. And it was, of course, planned and prepared to some degree, but the way he would get Carson off his game, he kept a straight face, and, you know, Johnny would dish it back. It's as good as late night talk shows have ever been with his appearances on The Tonight Show, and it's all on YouTube. You can watch it. It's some of the funniest stuff you will ever see. When I was in college, we were shown his screen test for The Graduate as well. And clearly he was not right for the Hoffman part, but he was right for so many other parts. And it is such a funny screen test. It's one of those things where you watch it and you think, we're not going to hire this guy for this movie, but we will hire him for a whole bunch of other movies. And that's what happened.
Wade, let's continue by remembering Paul Mooney, a writer, a performer, worked on as the head writer on In Living Color, the TV series. He helped create the character Homie the Clown. He was on Chappelle's Show and also worked with Richard Pryor. We lost Paul Mooney at the age of 79.
Yeah, and he also wrote for, he was basically Richard Pryor's writing alter ego. He wrote some of Pryor's best material. He was head writer for the Richard Pryor Show. He also wrote for Sanford and Son and Good Times. He is an epic comedy figure in American culture. There are only two great comedy traditions that really kind of emerged and burst forth from the 60s, and that's the Jewish Catskillian tradition and black comedy. And Paul Mooney spans the entire history of black comedy in America from the 60s to the present day. I mean, like we said, you know, Chappelle's Show and the Richard Pryor Show and Sanford and Son. This is amazing. And on top of that, he wasn't just a great writer. He was an amazing performer. He pushed buttons on stage. He was Lenny Bruce level, provocateur. He brought it and he pushed you to the edge and he made people laugh and cringe at the same time and walk out really thoughtful about the things that he had talked about. I mean, he's a giant figure in American comedy, and I hope that the coming years really do him justice.
And we will remember Norman Lloyd, who we lost at the age of 106. At the time of his death, our longest living actor who worked well into his 90s. Peter, a remarkable career. And when he was blacklisted, Alfred Hitchcock hired him as a producer of his popular television series. And yet another creative manifestation of Lloyd, who directed stage productions, starred in Hitchcock's Saboteur, and was one of the ensemble members of the terrific TV series St. Elsewhere in the 80s. What a career.
Yeah, it's an amazing career, you know, stretching from the 30s until fairly recently. You know, he worked with many of the great directors. Jean Renoir's best Hollywood movie, The Southerner, he's featured in that. He's in a terrific World War II movie called Walk in the Sun. Chaplin, Limelight. You know, he was a tennis partner of Chaplin's in real life. He was very active in the La Jolla Playhouse. As you mentioned, the Alfred Hitchcock Presents, some of the best episodes he was directly involved with, as well as earlier on in the Federal Theater Project, the group theater. You know, he really covered the waterfront. One project I wish I could see is he directed a series of shows for the Omnibus TV series on Lincoln, written by James Agee. And that must be extraordinary. I met him several times, and he was such a courtly, funny guy. I mean, he grew up, he was, you know, Norman Perlmutter from Brooklyn, but he had this sort of courtly, almost yes. British, you know, you would never know. But at the age of 98, I felt he could definitely take me in tennis, no bar, but even so, I mean, he was just a remarkable walking history of American show business.
Well, let's take a couple minutes here to get a pick or two from each of our critics' favorite films so far. Angie, I know you know these were, of course, under Oscar consideration: Minari, Judas, and The Black Messiah. But a film that you really want to tout, or animated film on Netflix, The Mitchells versus the Machines. Briefly, what's that about?
It's about a family who have to deal with the robot apocalypse. And I think it's this year's Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, as far as I'm concerned. I was really touched by the story, which involves this father and daughter who are trying to bond while trying to save all of humanity. But I was really taken by the visual style, which has this almost hand-painted flair, but also really borrows from the visual language of the internet. I will say, if it looks kind of bad on your laptop, try a bigger screen. It made a world of difference when I watched it on my much nicer TV. But yeah, it's just so gleeful. It feels so fresh and funny, and I just had such a great time with it.
The Mitchells versus the Machines is rated PG, and it's on Netflix. Peter, for you, why don't you tell us about the documentary Gunda, which is one of your picks?
Yeah, it's a terrific movie that is about farm animals, mostly shot in Norway and several other countries. It focuses on a mother pig and her piglets, it's incredibly moving because you actually see without blinders the dailiness of the lives of these animals and how they work and how the mother deals with the pigs, piglets, and it's beautifully shot in black and white, no narration, no nothing. You just are there to watch this unfold before your eyes, and it's incredibly sad at the end too, in terms of what happens. You know,
so we'll be prepared. Viktor Kosakowski is the director of Gunda, which is available on Apple TV, and Wade has some picks, including Netflix's The Dig, starring Ralph Fiennes and Carey Mulligan, directed by Simon Stone, also recommending Our Friend, available on demand, starring Casey Affleck, Dakota Johnson, and Jason Segel. For our Film Week critics, I'm Larry Mantle. Have a wonderful weekend from all of us at Film Week.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.